It's a mixture of being very happy and being not quite so pleased. So the next 6 months, we're going to be fighting probably harder than we fought in the 4 years we've been in this fight to get what we want, which is marriage.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Colombia moves toward civil unions. The Aussie PM has a change of heart. A U.S. evangelical leader falls from grace. And Alaska considers domestic partners. But what will New Jersey do? Those stories and more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Don Lupo.
And I'm Charles Hall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 4th, 2006. Colombia's Senate has approved a civil union bill. The measure, which passed 48-40, still faces action in the House. And if it passes there, it would need President Alvaro Uribe's signature. The bill, known as Project 130, sets up a registration system to grant rights equivalent to marriage to same-gender couples in Social Security, health benefits, pensions, and joint ownership of property. As New York City activist and blogger Andres Duke, a native of the South American nation, wrote, "Although there is still a long legislative road ahead for the bill to become law, Colombian LGBT advocates are elated and celebrating the fact that this is the first time ever that a Colombian congressional branch has voted to recognize the rights of gays and lesbians."
Conservative Australian Prime Minister John Howard has pledged to work to grant lesbi-gay couples some legal rights, even though he's consistently opposed same-gender marriage and civil union laws that too closely resemble marriage. According to reports, the areas Howard would consider include taxation, Medicare, pharmaceutical benefits, pensions, elder care, immigration, and subsidized military housing. The Weekend Australian newspaper said Howard's apparent change of heart on some form of same-gender couple recognition follows a quiet lobbying campaign by Liberal Party members of Parliament.
Alaska Governor Frank Murkowski has called a special session of the legislature to determine how the state should establish court-ordered benefits for the same-gender domestic partners of state employees and retirees. The debate began in 1999 when 9 same-gender couples, represented by the American Civil Liberties Union, filed a lawsuit challenging the lack of partner benefits for gays and lesbians employed by the state and in the city of Anchorage. The Alaska Supreme Court late last year ruled that because the state constitution restricts marriage to a man and a woman, denying benefits to partnered gay and lesbian government workers violates the same document's equal protection guarantees, and the High Court gave the state until January 1st to implement those benefits. The legislature failed to address the issue during its regular session. Last month, a Superior Court judge found that the regulations developed by the state were too restrictive and excessively burdensome. For example, it required same-gender couples to attest to being in a committed relationship for at least 12 months and to document each year they remained together. The 30-day special session of the Alaska Legislature is scheduled to begin on November 13th.
64% of Ireland's population support granting same-gender couples spousal rights in legal and financial matters, according to a recent Sunday Tribune Millward Brown IMS poll. 26% oppose such rights, and 10% had no opinion. Men, farmers, and people over 50 were more likely to express anti-queer positions, while women and people between 18 and 35 more frequently supported equality.
The United Kingdom will implement rules in April to prohibit sexual orientation-based discrimination in the provision of goods, facilities, and services, according to an announcement last week by the Blair government. The measures were set to take effect in October, but have apparently required more tinkering after some churches said, among other concerns, that they feared being forced to rent their premises to LGBT groups for meetings.
4 people were convicted of public violence and grievous bodily harm in Saint Martin this week for viciously beating gay American tourists Ryan Smith and Richard Jefferson in April. The 2 New York City-based employees of CBS News, who had been vacationing on the Caribbean island, were among a group of friends leaving a popular bar when they were victimized by the unprovoked assault. Prison sentences for the 4 attackers range from 6 months to 6 years. The harshest penalty was given to Michel Javois, nicknamed Duracell, who was identified as the ringleader of the group and the man who beat the men with a tire iron.
Violent protests by Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem over the LGBT Pride Parade set to take place there on November 10th have injured at least 8 police officers and led to several arrests during virtually daily demonstrations in the week leading up to the event. Protesters, sometimes numbering in the thousands, have burned trash and tried to blockade streets as they throw stones, steel pipes, gasoline, chairs, eggs, and whatever else they can find at police arriving to restore order. Following the edict of a Jerusalem-based rabbinical court, posters on the walls of almost every street along the parade route encourage Orthodox Jews to protest it. They are likely to be joined by many Arab Muslims who also strongly oppose homosexuality. "Demonstrate against the evil people who have sin in their souls and plot against the holy city," say the posters. "They are desecrating Jerusalem with their ugliness." Israel's Supreme Court has ruled that the parade must be allowed to take place based on free speech rights. Up to 8,000 people are expected to join the parade, but face possibly tens of thousands of protesters. Police spokesperson Mickey Rosenfeld said thousands of officers are being drawn from across the country to secure the march. All of the 2,000 border police troops stationed in the Palestinian territories will also be deployed to guard the parade. According to other reports, 200 medical personnel and 47 ambulances are being assigned to the event, as well as a treatment station and 10 medics on motorcycles. Haggai Elad of Jerusalem Open House, the group organizing the event, said he hoped it would not be marred by violence and that it was up to the police to ensure that. "There's a chance that the parade could still be canceled." Avi Dichter, the cabinet minister in charge of the police, told Israel Radio this week that if police believe that they cannot guarantee public safety, the march will not go ahead.
In other news, Britain's Daily Mirror newspaper has outed Tory Member of Parliament Greg Barker, reporting that he left his wife and 3 children to have an affair with the male interior decorator who had redone the family home. The 40-year-old Barker, who represents Bexhill and Battle in East Sussex, has a mostly anti-queer voting record, although he did support the Civil Partnership Bill in 2004. He's described himself in constituent newsletters as a family man. Barker is not expected to suffer much political fallout from the outing. Several reports said Conservative Party leader David Cameron, for whom Barker is a top lieutenant, plans to stand by him. The revelations about Mr. Barker caused little surprise at Westminster, as he is not the only married MP who is gay, London's Times reported. MPs from all wings of the Tory party have expressed support for Mr. Barker. Barker himself refused to comment on the outing, except to confirm that he has separated from his wife and demand that he is entitled to a private life.
Meanwhile, a powerful U.S. Christian evangelical leader is embroiled in a he-said-he-said scandal involving gay sex and illegal drugs. The Reverend Ted Haggard has stepped down from the presidency of the 30-million-member U.S. National Association of Evangelicals and from his position as senior pastor at the 14,000-member Colorado Springs, Colorado New Life Church. Gay escort Mike Jones told reporters this week that the two have had monthly sexual encounters during the past 3 years and that he'd purchased speed for Haggard on several occasions. He said he advertised himself as an escort on the internet and was contacted by a man who called himself Art, who snorted methamphetamine before they had sex. Jones said that the two last got together in August. The 50-year-old Haggard, a married father of 5, says he'd been referred to Jones by the staff of a Denver hotel, although it's not clear what type of services he was seeking. He admits to getting a massage from Jones, but denies any sexual activity. He's also admitted buying methamphetamine from Jones, but denies ever using the drug. Colorado voters have been inundated with contentious debate on the rights of same-gender couples leading up to measures involving marriage and domestic partnerships on the November 7th state ballot. Haggard has been one of the most outspoken opponents of legal recognition for same-gender couples, not only in Colorado, but nationally. Jones says he only recently saw a man on television identified as Haggard railing against lesbi-gay rights, and that he went public to expose what he called the minister's double standards. Haggard reportedly has close ties to the White House and has often been credited with rallying evangelical voters behind George W. Bush and the Republican Party during the 2004 elections.
And finally, retired tennis star and LGBT rights advocate Martina Navratilova and PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, are condemning hormone-altering experiments on so-called gay sheep at Oregon State University and Oregon Health and Science University. The research, funded by taxpayers through 2008, attempts to manipulate the sexual orientation of sheep to ensure that they are born heterosexual. According to the researchers' grant applications, the experiment involves drugging pregnant sheep to prevent the actions of hormones in their fetuses' brains and cutting open the brains of rams determined to be male-oriented. The intent is to find the hormonal mechanism behind homosexuality and to effect change through the use of some sort of estrogen delivery system. In letters sent to the presidents of both universities, Navratilova called the project homophobic and cruel. She asked them to end the research and to spend the tax dollars instead to fund a gay and lesbian community center to foster dialogue and acceptance. The sheep experimenters say they hope to apply their test results to humans.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 4th, 2006, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Charles Hall.
And I'm Don Lupo.
Coming up, one of the lesbian plaintiff couples puts a face on the New Jersey rights ruling. But first, let's discover another queer historical hero in the Rainbow Minute.
Jane Addams, social work pioneer and peace activist, coming up now on The Rainbow Minute. Jane Addams was born in Illinois in 1860. Although from an upper-class family, she became known for her compassionate service to the poor. In the 1880s, she opened the Hull House in poverty-stricken Chicago, where Addams pioneered the concept of the independent woman, incorporating leadership training. Addams believed the dominant male values of her time contributed to poverty, urban blight, and war, and believed the duty of women was to propose different models for living. Her belief that war was the supreme social evil garnered her the Nobel Peace Prize in 1931. Addams' closest companion was Mary Rosette Smith, who championed the work at the Hull House. Addams considered this 40-year relationship nothing short of a marriage. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Mary Gay Hutcherson.
This is Michael Nava, the author of the Henry Rios Mysteries, but it's no mystery to what we're listening to. It's This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. My books reach a lot of people in the gay and lesbian community, but This Way Out reaches a lot more and deserves all our support.
Hello, I'm Dr. Robert Simmons, Jr. of Lebanon, Ohio, a longtime This Way Out listener and donor. In memory of my mother, Mabel Simmons, I'm issuing a matching challenge to supporters of this volunteer-driven nonprofit operation. Please visit thiswayout.org to see how your help to keep this program on the air will now be worth twice as much. You'll also get a tax deduction if you're in the United States, and you'll find some unique holiday gifts there too. Again, please log on to thiswayout.org. We'll all be very thankful.
How the world can change, it can change like that, due to one little word, Mary. See a palace rise from a two-room flat, due to one little word, Mary.
On October 25th, the New Jersey Supreme Court issued the first opinion on marriage equality in U.S. history that was unanimous in finding that a state unconstitutionally discriminates against its same-gender couples. The court gave the state legislature 180 days to grant lesbian and gay couples all the rights and benefits enjoyed by heterosexual married couples, but left it up to New Jersey legislators to decide whether to call it marriage or something else, most likely civil unions. The 4-3 decision was especially notable because all the dissenters said they believed it didn't go far enough. Those three justices said the ruling should have affirmed same-gender couples' fundamental right to marriage. In New Jersey, as elsewhere, it's not just an abstract political issue. It's a personal one that affects the real lives of same-gender couples and their families. 2 days after the ruling, one of the lesbian plaintiff couples, who were all represented by the queer advocacy group Lambda Legal, talked about the battle yet ahead with Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez on the program Democracy Now!
We're joined by Sandra Toby Heath and Alicia Heath Toby. They're one of the seven gay and lesbian couples who filed the suit in New Jersey. We welcome you both to Democracy
Thank
Now!
You. Good morning.
Your response to the decision?
A mix.
It's a mixture of being very happy and being not quite so pleased. I'm the eternal optimist of the two of us. So I did the glasses half full as opposed to half empty. And I was very happy that all of the justices agreed that our rights had been violated. It told me that they did pay attention, that they were listening to our lawyers, that they were reading the briefs, hearing our stories, and maybe during the course of the 4 years where we were out in the public arena, maybe they were watching that too. So I was feeling really good about that, that they were paying attention. The three justices that dissented, I felt like they took it a step further. They opened their heart, you know, and they saw that we're just like anyone else, you know, and we deserve to have equal rights, you know. The other four, I call them a work in progress. Maybe down the road they'll get it fully. But, you know, on the whole, I felt good. I just realized that the fight wasn't over. So the next 6 months, we're going to be fighting probably harder than we fought in the 4 years we've been in this fight to get what we want, which is marriage.
And Alicia, in terms of your decision to participate in the suit and to wage this campaign, what made you come to that decision and take such an active role in?
My wife made me. my wife received a call, and I call her my wife because we had a ceremony in our home 8 years ago.
Seven years ago.
And she received a call from Landa requesting an interview with us, and she was very excited, and she called me and said, Landa is sending someone to talk to us about participating in a lawsuit in New Jersey for the right to marry for same-sex couples. And history was then made. I never questioned it. I never thought of saying no. I never was concerned about exposure. Our lives has always been an open book. I've always been out. I don't know what the inside of a closet looks like. So it was very easy. It was very natural. It was very the right thing to do. And so it never dawned on me to do anything other than what we are doing now.
And amazingly, the dissenting judges who were taking the more liberal position were appointed by Republican governors, whereas
wow.
the ones who took the more conservative position were appointed by Democrats. Was you surprised
wow.
about the,
yes.
the breakdown of the judges?
Well, see, I didn't know that little bit of information. When we left the Supreme Court that day, some months ago, I felt very hopeful. I felt very positive. But as our lawyer, Dave Buckle, said, you know, don't attach a lot of importance to that, how you're feeling, because you can be feeling like really uplifted and like this is going to happen. And you know, maybe one of the justices would have a bad night the night before. You know what I mean? You just, people are human, so you didn't know. I didn't want to get my hopes up too high. So, you know, that's where I was doing this whole thing.
Alicia and Toby, can you tell us how you met? Tell us about your family. Tell us about the time you've been together.
Okay, it's interesting that you say Alicia and Toby. That's my my mom's, we call my mom Toby.
I mean Alicia and Sandra.
We met through a mutual friend. I was moving. I'm a New Yorker. And I'm going down as such, but I was moving, and I was moving to New Jersey, and a friend of ours wasn't even introducing us. Sandra happened to be with her at the time, and they visited me to talk about this move into this apartment that our mutual friend was leaving. And when I saw her, you know, I thought, ooh, she's very attractive. And I didn't think anything else of it. And then I moved into the house in which she lived, and she had a space on the second floor, and I was moving to the third floor. And one day she came up and she gave me this whole inquisition about who are you, where are you from, what does your mom do, like that whole. And from that we became friends, and it was, I never, once again, I never thought know anything of it, though. We're just being friends. It's nice to move into a new town and have somebody who knows the town and somebody that's, you know. And one day I said, wow, I think I love this woman. And we went to dinner and I said to her, I think I love you. And she's sitting across from me and she literally looks at me like I'm a blank sheet of paper. And I go, okay, I think I might have said too much. And we just kept eating. It was almost like suspended in midair kind of thing. And, you know, we continued to just have a relationship and a friendship. And then on January 1st, we decided that we would be a couple. And this January, we would have been together 18 years.
18 years.
And it has been...
quite an adventure.
Quite an adventure.
You're a pastor, you're a reverend?
Yes, I'm a reverend. I'm the assistant pastor at Liberation and Truth Unity Fellowship Church in Newark, New Jersey. And this, she's my first lady.
Tell us about your last names.
When we joined our lives, we because it's not legal in New Jersey, we wanted to honor each other. And my maiden name is Toby. And so we wanted to keep our last names at the end just for legal purposes so that we wouldn't have a whole bunch of questions. And so we decided to, by honoring each other, take each other's names, but leaving our surnames at the end.
And so yours is?
So my surname is Alicia. I was born Toby. And so I took Heath, so I put Heath before my last, and she did the flip.
And now, of course, the court has put all of this in the hands of the legislature to finally, the state legislature to finally iron out how they will sanction unions. What do you do now in terms of from here on in?
Well, we work. We get out there and we advocate. We become a tick on the behinds of the legislators. You know, we get in their ear and just annoy them. You know, like I was telling my wife, this 6 months is probably going to, we're probably going to work harder than we have the four months in this lawsuit. You know, as far as just, you know, we just have that window of 178 days now.
Right.
You know, so my feeling is that we got to work, find out, the politicians that support us, the ones who are against us, and just, sign petitions, send, just a mass flood of information. And like my wife was speaking at the rally on Wednesday in Montclair, and she challenged the audience to become involved. It's not just about the plaintiff couples,
One of the things that I'm most encouraged by, that it's now not just about 6.5 couples. Because, as we know, we lost one of the women. She passed away. So it's not about the 6.5 of us anymore. It is about the public, the people. And that in and of itself is the most empowering thing about this whole thing. So do I believe in, things happen? No, I believe that things happen for a reason, that there are no mistakes, and that this is an issue that impacts the people. And so now it is the people's responsibility that really believe in the right thing, which is marriage, that they will get behind this thing. And that is why we chose to do it, that it's bigger than Sandra and I, that it's about the rights of other people who identify and love the same ways in which we do. And now it's their responsibility to get behind this thing. And if you really believe that you deserve to be married and that be called marriage, then you will be compassionate and compelled and passionate about doing it.
Your kids, their response?
Our children,
we have
two sons, her sons, and we have six grandchildren, actually
five
and one on the way.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they had mixed feelings. Yes. First of all, they had mixed feelings about our relationship. But we had, you know, we've been together so long, and we've been loving each other and doing the same things that they do as heterosexual men. And when we decided to do this, I'm sure that they had some feelings around us being exposed and possibly being exposed. But we were very sensitive that we didn't want to expose them in any way that they didn't want to be exposed. And I must say, if you ask either one of them, and even some of our grandbabies who could speak, they would say that our, you know, that we're doing the right thing, that it's important, that it's about doing something for the bigger picture and beyond today. And they would say that their grandparents are activists, and that they will stand up when no one else will. My wife said the other day that she saves all of the stuff. I mean, she just has all these papers, newspapers. And she said, one day we will sit with our grandchildren and we will tell the stories. And they will hear them, and they will know that they come from greatness. And that is so much greater than the moment.
That was Sandra Toby Heath and Alicia Heath Toby, one of the seven couples who filed the lawsuit in New Jersey demanding equal rights for same-gender unions, in conversation with Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez on the program Democracy Now! The New Jersey State Legislature has until the last week of April to decide whether to call those unions marriage or something lawmakers may deem to be separate but equal. Deborah T. Poritz, Chief Justice of the New Jersey Supreme Court, retired on the day of the ruling, October 25th, just shy of her 70th birthday. Hers was one of the dissenting voices in the marriage ruling. She wrote in part, "We must not underestimate the power of language. Labels set people apart as surely as physical separation on a bus or in school facilities. Labels are used to perpetuate prejudice about differences." Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Don Lupo, Charles Hall, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, and Judd Proctor and Brian Burns with Mary Gay Hutcherson contributed program material. A special thanks also to Amy Goodman, Juan Gonzalez, and Democracy Now! Liza Minnelli performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out anytime, exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from you, our listeners, and we thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how your help to keep this program on the air is now worth twice as much to us, and choose from some special CD thank you gifts. You can email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to us at Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KDUR Durango, Colorado, WTIP Grand Marais, Minnesota, CFXU Antigonish, Nova Scotia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.